WrestleMania, Backlash, Dynasty. Yeah, we're going to get into all of that and more. It's the return of the faction.
Salute my people. Here we go. Salute my people.
What's going on, family? Happy Tuesday and welcome to another edition of The Faction. I hope you guys are doing well. I know it's been a really, really long time since we've been together. And so I'm apologizing and somewhat explaining what's happened. This has been somewhat of a forced break, and that's just been because a lot of things have been going on in this space of pro wrestling for yours truly. If you've been following the journey, you know there's been a lot that's been going on. All year long, the month of March, the month of April, it's been very, 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 very busy. So my apologies that we haven't had this particular podcast going on, but I want to make sure that we continue to make room for all of our faction followers. So shout out to all of you. And even though we've not had the audio podcast, we have had still great content being posted on our social spaces, including news, and of course, these videos that I've been doing as well, which I hope you guys have been enjoying. That's been giving you some thoughts about WrestleMania and several other things that have been going on in the pro wrestling space. So shout out to all of you for rocking with us and continuing to rock with us. Some of you have reached out and said, hey, when are we going to hear your thoughts on WrestleMania? When are we going to hear your thoughts on XYZ? Well, today's the day, and I hope that you are well. If you're not already following us, make sure you're following us on the socials at The Faction Show in all of the social spaces, and make sure you're subscribed to our podcast everywhere you get podcasts. Now, it's possible that there are some of you joining us for the first time. Perhaps you've had an opportunity to check out my commentary work, or you've seen me in some other platforms. Welcome to The Faction. We have a lot of great conversation here regarding the world of pro wrestling. So I know a lot of you wanted my thoughts on WrestleMania, and we're a few weeks removed from it, but WrestleMania 40 is honestly the gift that keeps on giving. So no, I'm not going to go match by match. I am going to talk overall about the importance of this year's WrestleMania. It is the first WrestleMania that has happened under the new era, the Triple H era. It has been well documented, and I've got to shout out WWE. If there's one thing you've learned about the WWE, they are masters when it comes to branding and marketing. They're going to make sure you know where we are and what is of importance. And so WrestleMania season was all about securing and introducing the new era. And I think this is important for a few reasons. I think many people never saw a pro wrestling world without Vince McMahon still living. Nobody ever imagined that, number one, the WWE would sell, which again, the initial announcement took place this time last year. Nobody ever thought Vince McMahon would have a boss, and nobody ever thought that Vince McMahon would no longer be with WWE. With that being the case, I think it is important that Triple H and the new regime really establish themselves as such and try to drive away any other thoughts of the involvement of Vince McMahon. Now, there will probably always be the imprint of Vince McMahon, if for no other reason than he created this company. It was his vision that has gotten things to this particular point. With that said, I think we can all agree, taking a look not just at WrestleMania, but the 17 sold out television events leading up to it, plus all that has happened after it, we're definitely in a new era. Wrestling is incredibly popular. Wrestling is incredibly fun again. And anytime workers are having fun, the product is going to be fun. And you can really tell there's a lot of fun being had right now. WrestleMania 40, in my opinion, one of the most significant WrestleManias of all time. Certainly when it comes to the numbers, it by far is the biggest gate of all time, the most viewership of all time, the most social WrestleMania of all time. Now, one could argue it's the best attended, but we have enough data out there to show that it was not the biggest attended WrestleMania, but I think all of the other numbers become very, very important when it comes to it. I have asserted this via socials, but I will assert this here in this space and perhaps unpack it a little bit more. That is, I believe this is the greatest WrestleMania of all time, not solely because of the matches that happened, even though they were great, not solely because of the history that happened, even though it was great, but because of what WrestleMania did for so many. So many fell in love with pro wrestling again, courtesy of what WrestleMania presented. And that, to me, is what makes this the greatest WrestleMania of all time. We will probably at some point talk about Roman versus Cody, or even, in my opinion, the main event that nobody's talking about, Saturday night's main event, The Return of The Rock, with The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. At some point, we will be able to have think pieces about the value of Seth Rollins and how much work he did to ensure WrestleMania would be incredible and having to get knee surgery 2 days after WrestleMania Sunday. We'll get into the debut of Jade Cargill, the introduction of the Big Three, the diversity, and all of the things. It was literally the perfect storm that all came together for all things WrestleMania. So following the success of that WrestleMania, we look forward. And one of the questions that's happening is, what will happen for WrestleMania 41? By now, of course, we would have already announced that the location and date of WrestleMania, but that has not happened. That's because Nick Khan and the powers that be, WWE and TKO, are really thinking things through. One of the difficult things about Mania this year was it was cold. I was in Philly during the week of WrestleMania, and it was cold. It was frigid. And so 50 degrees in Philadelphia hits differently than 50 degrees in Atlanta or 50 degrees in LA. And then you're outside. Yeah, that's a rough scenario. So again, this is something that's different with this new era versus the old era, where the old era would just say, this is what it is. We're going to rock with it. The new era says, no, let's kind of rethink what our plans are for WrestleMania 41. And now there's talk that WrestleMania could move from its normal March, April spot to as late as May, which I think would be incredible. One thing that is for certain, Nick Khan says that he does not want WrestleMania to compete with the Final Four, which it has for the last 15 years or so. Personally, I think there's wisdom in this. There are a number of sports fans who are not solely pro wrestling fans, but they love college basketball, they love baseball, all of the other sports. So this avoids them from having to choose which of the sports they're going to align with during that weekend. So we patiently await whatever decision will be made relative to WrestleMania 41 and beyond. And as we get that information, we'll be sure to share that with you. Now, speaking of Las Vegas has become a sudden hotbed for the WWE. If you go back to the WrestleMania kickoff show that happened in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas happens to be a hotbed and a home for the UFC, and we just found out that NXT's Battleground will now emanate from the UFC Apex Center. Now, this is significant for a few reasons. This location is a state-of-the-art facility that the UFC has been using for quite some time. All sorts of great opportunities there. What's also interesting is the maximum capacity for this venue is 1,000 seats. Now, to some, that would seem counterproductive. If you'll remember, Battleground was originally supposed to take place in May in Savannah, Georgia. Obviously, the seating there was going to be much larger than what's happening at the UFC Apex Center. So why would the WWE choose a smaller venue for NXT Battleground? Honestly, it's got nothing to do with venue size. Stand and Deliver proved that this iteration of NXT can draw numbers. 16,000 in the arena for NXT Stand and Deliver, the biggest Stand and Deliver of all time. So it's not about those numbers. It's about partnership with the UFC, as this is the first official event that features this partnership between the UFC and the WWE. It also makes you wonder, is Vegas being really vetted for WrestleMania? because if Vegas gets a good response, you've got to imagine WrestleMania will come the way of Vegas. So I think this is interesting. I personally want to see what NXT Battleground is going to look like from this space at the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas. If you've ever seen inside of that building, it is absolutely state of the art. And I think that the technology and the staging of NXT is going to make this whole UFC situation a real problem. So you guys are not going to want to miss that. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled. I definitely think that when it comes to tickets, tickets are going to be hard to come by for NXT Battleground. So you may want to just prepare yourselves to watch this as a premium live event on Peacock. Yeah, that's going to be wild. And speaking of NXT, tonight is NXT's spring break-in. Now, this is going to be a two-week event that I think will have significant ramifications relative to, number one, the impending draft, which shows up this Friday, and two, the upcoming NXT Battleground event. So let's talk a little bit about this, okay? What's scheduled to happen tonight at Spring Break-In? Well, Spring Break-In will feature, for one, the NXT Championship on the line as Ilya Dragunov takes on Trick Williams with a very interesting stipulation that if Trick Williams loses, he leaves NXT. Now, most of us, when you look at the layout of NXT, you see that it's clear that Trick Williams has up next. He's now defeated Carmelo Hayes two consecutive times, including the main event of Stand and Deliver and a steel cage match last week. So it stands to make sense that Trick is that guy. But the question is, would Trick Williams be better suited as the flagship of NXT? Or would there be a better space for him on Raw or SmackDown? It certainly seems like Carmelo Hayes is heading to be a part of the draft. Perhaps Ilya Dragunov is headed for the draft, considering his appearance on Monday Night Raw the night after Mania. That also makes me think about Roxanne Perez, who is the current women's champion. She also was on the Raw after Mania and would certainly be due a call-up. So what gives? What's going to happen with Spring Break-In? We also know that there will be, I believe, the contract signing tonight for NXT Underground as Lola Vice takes on Natalya. First time ever women have been in the Underground match. So this is going to be really interesting. Spring Break-In tonight should be an entire vibe. So definitely check it out. I want to get your predictions on all things Spring Break-In for NXT. Let's talk a little bit about WWE. Last night we saw the Women's World Championship decided by way of a battle royal. The winner of that battle royal, Becky Lynch, as she would go on to eliminate both Nia Jax and Liv Morgan to become the champion. Now, we got here because of an injury courtesy of Liv Morgan to Rhea Ripley. Of course, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch kicked off WrestleMania Saturday. Rhea Ripley gets the win, but now Becky Lynch holds the championship. I think this is going to be interesting. Now, there are those in the internet wrestling community that are saying, hey, kind of unfair. Why not put the strap on Liv? There's obviously a reason. I think one thing we've got to learn is there's always a reason for what the WWE does. As for Liv Morgan, I'm intrigued. It's almost like she's a tweener right now. She's between being a good guy and a bad guy. After what she did to Rhea Ripley, you've got to imagine that there are fans who are unhappy with her. Yet there's still a contingency that thought that she should become the Women's World Champion. What are your thoughts on Liv Morgan not becoming champion? And do you think there's perhaps a future for her as the Women's World Champion? Coming out of that, it looked to me like we could see a program coming between Piper Niven and Becky Lynch. After all, Piper Niven kind of put the boots to Becky Lynch, dragging her outside of the ring and making it a real thing between the two. I also think we saw an amazing moment with Maxine Dupri starting to come into her own, eliminating at least two superstars in the Battle Royal and standing up to Nia Jax. That is a really, really big deal. So we'll be intrigued to see what happens with that. And speaking of Maxine Dupri, it makes you wonder how much longer we're going to see this iteration of what we know as the Alpha Academy. Last night, Chad Gable decided to kind of draw a line in the sand. He berated the Alpha Academy and then told them they are going to follow him no matter what. And interestingly enough, they all reluctantly agreed. Very interesting story there. Also, and I'm kind of hitting you with some quick hits here. So, yeah, you could ask questions a little bit later if you'd like, or have me expound on something if you're interested in. One of the things that's happening that I think is so cool is that the QR codes are back to really kind of understand where this is coming from. You have to check out the Becoming Immortal documentary on the life and times of Bray Wyatt, where an Easter egg was dropped at the very end, and it looks like we could see the continuation of what Bray Wyatt began in his last run in WWE. Now, what exactly will that look like? Will that look like Uncle Howdy? Will it look like perhaps Alexa Bliss or several others making a return? What things have you learned from the QR codes? Yeah, I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dig into AEW Dynasty and what we've learned from some of the changes happening in that company.
This is Caprice Coleman, and you're listening to The Faction on Bonafide Radio. That's right, the melt, the style, the grace, the shape, and the face. Support Bonafide Radio, The Faction. Keep it on, baby.
What's up, y'all? It's the Intergalactic Soul, the Honorable Brother, the Revolutionary ourself, Darius Lockhart here. And I'm here with some exciting news on how you can watch our shape from home all across the globe. All you have to do is go to AshayWrestling.com and click on the tab Watch Ashay. There, starting at midnight, November 24th on Black Friday, there'll be a downloadable link available for purchase that will send you directly to the Ashay live stream held on December 1st. From there, select your item. Click on the box Get Your Link. Check out using the cart located in the bottom right corner of your screen. Click Checkout. Enter your form of payment information and complete your purchase. Once you're done, there'll be the option to download the item. Click this and download the PDF format attached, and once it opens, there'll be a link at the bottom sending you directly to the live stream of the first ever Ashay show. I hope this is an easy process for everyone and that you join us on our live stream. I hope to see you there. Ashay.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Hey guys, before we hop back into the podcast, I want to let you know that you have the opportunity to wear the merch of hopefully your favorite commentator. That's right, I have merch available representing us here at The Faction and representing my journey.
Lego.
You've likely heard about my journey into pro wrestling, and if you haven't, I can sum it up in a couple of words.
Uh-oh.
It took me 5 seconds of courage to bet on me.
Yeah!
So we've got great merch out there allowing you to tell the world about 5 seconds of courage and betting on you.
Uh-huh.
And check out that merch right now at prowrestlingtees.com/bonafide. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/bonafide. Check out this new merch representing yours truly in the world of pro wrestling. Bet on you. 5 seconds of courage. prowrestlingtees.com/bonafide.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Attention wrestling fans, join us Friday, May 3rd for SHW 62.
Live from the Action Building in Canton, Georgia.
Featuring special guest matchmaker, Paul Walter Hauser. Plus, two rings, one cage as the Hierarchy and the Endgame collide in the War Chamber. All this and so much more. Tickets on sale at the door the night of the show starting at 5 p.m. Doors open at 7, bell time at 8. Invite all your friends and come see why we are SHW and this is our wrestling.
I got a lot left in the tank.
What's up, guys? This is Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, and you're tuned in to The Faction.
Shout out to our friends at Ashay Wrestling. I've had an amazing time rocking with them. If you're unfamiliar, go to ashaywrestling.com. It has been such an incredible time with them. I get to serve in a different role with Ashay Wrestling. You are accustomed to seeing me in a commentary space with most of the promotions that I'm working with, but with Ashay Wrestling, I get the opportunity to be an on-air correspondent, do some interviewing, do some hosting. It's really, really amazing to see. And we had an incredible show this past Friday night, Ashay Cosmos, from the historic Cabarrus Arena and Event Center and it was incredible. One of the items that's coming out of there is it looks like we could be getting a big tag team match with two of the most significant African-American women tag teams in the last 10 years as the current NWA and now Mission Pro tag team champions, the King Bees, will be taking on the reuniting Fire and Flava. That is Tasha Steelz and Kiera Hogan, who reunited Friday night. They are former Impact Knockouts tag team champions, and those two teams will be battling at our next show with Ashe Wrestling on June the 22nd. So you might want to mark your calendars and prepare yourself for that date, because that's going to be an amazing night. Now, speaking of other great action happening outside of WWE, congratulations to five new champions in AEW. That happened as a result of AEW Dynasty and their big pay-per-view over the weekend, which was headlined by Swerve Strickland finally becoming the AEW World Champion by defeating Samoa Joe. Huge moment as he becomes the eighth man to hold the AEW World Championship and the first of African-American descent. It's obviously a big deal in the wrestling world, and given how significant of a promotion AEW is, this is a big moment. So congratulations to Swerve Strickland. Congratulations also to Willow Nightingale, who got her first taste of gold in AEW as she won the TBS championship by defeating Julia Hart. Now, her celebration was short-lived as she would be met in the ring by Mercedes Moné, who has stated that she will be challenging for that title at Double or Nothing in May, which also is in Las Vegas. Now, what's interesting here is, for those who did not know, Mercedes Moné has still not been medically cleared to wrestle, but it is believed that she will be cleared by Double or Nothing. So that's the deal. Now, I will just say this. I have some concerns because it certainly is looking like Willow Nightingale could be a transitional champion, meaning that she will literally hold this title until Mercedes Moné is ready. And personally, I think that's a mistake. I think that Willow Nightingale has done so much work in AEW and in Ring of Honor. And honestly, she should have held a championship prior to this. But now that she finally has it, I don't believe that that should be taken away for the shiny new toy that is Mercedes Moné. I actually think one of the smart things to do here is for Mercedes Moné to actually lose to Willow Nightingale, have to really kind of refocus, revamp things, and then perhaps come after that TBS championship a little further down the road. But I do think Willow Nightingale should get the opportunity to be the champion that she's been groomed to be. I absolutely think that she deserves that moment. On top of that, we also saw something that I think is very interesting. For one, Chris Jericho is now the new FTW champion. He defeated Hook. We also have new tag team champions as the Young Bucks defeated FTR thanks to the returning Jack Perry. And now they hold the AEW World Tag titles for the third time. And in one of the most interesting moments, this happened in the pre-show, that is the Bang Bang Gang, Bullet Club Gold, defeated the Acclaimed with Billy Gunn to unify the Ring of Honor and AEW Trios Championships. Now, I'm going to spend a little time here because this is interesting to me. The Ring of Honor six-man tag titles have a lengthy history, certainly predating Ring of Honor's current ownership with Tony Khan. Many greats have held that particular title. To see this championship be the first of a Ring of Honor nature merged with an AEW title makes me wonder a few things. For one, why? That's one thing. Two, are we removing the presence of the six-man championship from Ring of Honor? If so, why? There could be an argument made as to why we would do that. But bigger than that, is this a foreshadowing of things to come? Could we be seeing a full merger between Ring of Honor and AEW happening at some point? I don't know, but I do think this is very interesting, and I am concerned about Ring of Honor and the preservation of that brand. That brand has done so much for the wrestling space, and I'm not fully sure if its return over the last year has added to its legacy or taken away from it, but I do not want to see what Ring of Honor is doing merged and unified with AEW. But I want to get your thoughts. What do you think should happen with the future of Ring of Honor? And is this just a one-off, right? Is this just a space where we're removing the six-man championships from Ring of Honor, but the rest of Ring of Honor remains the same? Or is this a harbinger of things to come? I would love to get your thoughts on that. We are rolling through a number of things because I'm just trying to catch us up from when we last talked. TNA had a big pay-per-view this weekend called Rebellion. And the big news out of there is that three superstars have returned. That includes Mike Santana from Proud and Powerful. We also saw the return of Sami Callihan, who I honestly associate most with TNA. And Broken Matt Hardy returned at the end of that pay-per-view looking to get his hands on the TNA World Championship. Now, interestingly enough, Matt Hardy has not fully signed to TNA. He is at this point still very much a free agent, which means he could show up almost anywhere at any time. So we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. So I just wanted to drop a little something on you guys to let you know that we're back. We're going to continue to do some significant things here in the wrestling space. If you do not catch us at this podcast, there are a number of other places that you can catch us, including Women's Wrestling Talk, WWT Live. I am there live Mondays, Wednesdays, and some Fridays. You can check that out on the Women's Wrestling Talk social spaces, whether that be YouTube, Twitch, or Instagram. You can also check me out as part of Wrestle Extra with our good friends A Dazzle and Mex. You can check that out on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. That is also live, so make sure you're checking that out. Then, of course, you can check out my commentary work in so many different spaces. You can check me out on IWTV with Southern Honor Wrestling and IWE. You can check me out on the respective YouTube pages for The Nightmare Factory, for Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, and for All Caribbean Wrestling. And you'll be able to see right now on All Caribbean Wrestling several of the matches that took place at Philly Mania, which was my working debut during Mania Week. So check that out. And again, check out all things Ashe Wrestling at AsheWrestling.com. You can check out all three shows, which I am on all three shows. So check that out. You can also check out our socials at Ashe Wrestling, where right now, this is just going crazy. This upcoming potential match between the King Bees and Fire and Flava, it's going crazy on Twitter and on Instagram. So make sure you are checking that out. And you'll see somebody pretty familiar in the middle of all of that. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. I hope you've enjoyed kind of our foray back. We're going to be doing this a bit more often, so keep those notifications on so that you'll be notified as soon as we drop a brand new episode. There's plenty to talk about, and we'll keep you locked in. So until next time, representing for my good brothers, Courtney Beard, Brandon Clack, and the Fourth Horseman, John Murray, who just had a birthday this week. Happy birthday, John. I am Gerard Bonner, and this is The Faction.
I lead my people, here we go.